I was 11 just the other day in my grandmother's backyard picking leaf and playing marbles, pitch marbles with my brother. And, you know, that was my life. Never, ever, ever could I imagine moving to a whole different country 3 years later and ended up going to two Ivy League universities and becoming a school leader and being, you know, being a public speaker and being a published author. I never imagined that life.
Hi, I'm Carrie Ann Reed Brown, and this is Carry On Friends, the Caribbean American podcast. Here is where we have conversations around culture, heritage, career, entrepreneurship, and the everyday life that makes up the Caribbean American experience. While there are many themes in the stories of our guests, their experiences are unique to them, shaping, changing, or propelling them in some way. This is one of those stories.
My name is Nicole. I am a proud Trini, a proud immigrant. I moved to the United States when I was in Form 4, and I was about turning 15 years old, and I've been in New Jersey, then a New York resident since then. I have a bachelor's degree in mechanical aerospace engineering, and I have graduate degrees in education. So for 20 years of my life, I worked within K through 16 school environments as a classroom teacher, department chair, assistant principal, and then a high school principal here in New York City.
Okay. So as you've heard, Nicole has an impressive resume. And I got curious as to why she wasn't an engineer and spent most of her career in education. Nothing's wrong with teaching, but she did say she has a degree in mechanical and aerospace engineering. So, Nicole, what happened there?
Yeah, so I actually had grand plans to be this, you know, wonderful mechanical engineer. I was really, really excited about all the different things that I could possibly do in the industry. And then when I got my initial taste of it, I did not like the isolation. I did not like, you know, being the only brown girl. I did not like being amidst a community of people that were much older than me. I couldn't really relate to or connect to. I was still fairly fresh as an immigrant, right? Not been in the country that long. So that kind of led me into considering education because I've always said, and I say it with fervor to this day, you know, my formal secondary education in Trinidad is what kind of led me on that path, right? That gave me such a solid foundation. So I've always had a tremendous respect for the role that education plays in our lives and played specifically in my life.
Okay. So now we have a better understanding of Nicole's background and experience in engineering and why she chose to go into education. So now I'm curious about her time in education because she spent the bulk of her career there. So Nicole, how did you get started in education?
So I ended up, you know, going to graduate school, started teaching, became a STEM teacher. I taught sixth grade general science, my favorite grade ever. I taught ninth grade, I taught senior physics, I taught 11th grade chemistry, I taught almost every science, and I loved it. And I kind of stumbled into school leadership because I was at a school where I was so comfortable and I was there for so long. And I realized I was in a comfort zone and I didn't, you know, I was kind of slinking into that space where you're not really pushing yourself or challenging yourself. And I decided to do something crazy and leave that school and go to a new school. And my plan was to actually stay at this new institution for a year while I figured out my life, right? While I figured out what I wanted to do. At this point, I'd already, you know, attained my doctorate degree in urban education. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to go into academia full-time or become a full-time consultant. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I loved being in the classroom and I was really confused about what I wanted that avenue to be. And within, you know, I would say about 4 months of me being at this new school, I was invited and asked by the chair of the board of directors there to become the principal. So school leadership was never a part of my plan. And I said to myself, you know what? This is happening for a reason. You can really, really learn and grow in this role. And I prayed on it and I accepted the position and I took it on, not really realizing what I was getting into. And by that, I mean school leadership by far has been the most challenging thing I've ever done in my entire professional career.
Post-pandemic, as a parent, I have a different appreciation for what teachers have to deal with. But still, I was curious, in what way was school leadership the most difficult thing that Nicole has done?
Specifically, the role that I was in, you know, I did not have a full leadership team, which most schools tend to have. And by that, I mean, I don't want to use too much school lingo, but meaning like, normally at a school, there is a principal, and then there's a vice principal, and there might be many vice principals, there might be one or two deans. So they are all people who would be considered part of leadership. And at the school where I was the principal, I did not have an assistant principal, I did not have full-time deans, I did not even have a personal administrative assistant. So I literally was wearing the hats of like four people. It was incredibly difficult. Not to mention, I was the first non-religious principal at the school. So that brought on a lot of challenges in terms of getting the community, a very traditional community, to accept lay leadership, like leadership that looked very different than they'd ever seen before. And very different meaning I wasn't a nun, I wasn't white, I was not, you know, 60 plus years old, I had an accent, I had crazy hair, no one in the school generally was of color. The school population itself was only 5% Black. So I was in a very, very different space, you know, at the helm of the school and working my tush off without support. And because I was doing everything from answering phones, emails, being at every school event, coming up with programming and PD for teachers and running department meetings and doing substitutions when we didn't have enough people to cover classes and packing chairs in auditoriums and mopping flooded toilets. Like I did all of that and the above. And, you know, I've worked about 80, 90 hours a week sometimes. I have crazy stories of sleeping on the floor of my office many, many nights because it was so late and I would have to be back at school so early. I never wanted to make the trek back to, you know, back to Brooklyn to go all the way to Manhattan, the Upper East Side. It was incredibly exhausting. And at some point, I just realized I was exhausted. I wasn't eating well. I wasn't sleeping enough. I was missing important engagements in my personal life, funerals and weddings and just special events I couldn't be at because I had to be somewhere else. The burnout kind of like started to hit and I decided to make a graceful exit and resign. And I just said, you know what, I love what I do, but I think it's time to take a break before I get to this point where I'm so angry. And the last thing I wanted to do was become a very angry and unapproachable leader, because I'd spent so much time cultivating a community where like I had an open door policy. Anyone can come to my door at any time of the day. There was no appointments needed or anything like that. So I made a really, really tough decision going into my fourth year as a principal that this was going to be my last year. Yeah. So I knew that I needed to take a break. I was like, you've been going like an Energizer Bunny for, you know, again, almost 20 years. In, you know, in schools. I've been in a school literally since I was 2 years old. And I was like, you can take a break. And so that's what I did in 2018. Not really knowing if I was going to return to schooling or what, I just knew I needed to take a break.
I don't know what I was expecting when I asked Nicole to tell me about her experience in education, but I knew it wasn't this. Do I understand that teachers work hard? Yes. And for another day, there's a lot to unpack about her experience in leadership. But in this moment, I'm glad Nicole realized that she needed to take a break. But you know what I'm curious about? What was finally that trigger that told her, you know what? Enough is enough. This has to stop.
For me, in my personal story, it was like I've dedicated my life to serving others, right, for 2 decades. And I realized like, wow, you've completely neglected serving yourself, right, taking care of yourself, making sure that you are okay. And I was like, you know, it's okay to take pause and do that for once in your life. I did not know what I was going to do. The only thing that was a surety, a certainty for me in 2018 was that I had multiple plane tickets booked to get the heck out of America. And that is what I did for 3 months after I resigned. I went to, I was in Zambia, I was in South Africa, and I came back, I went to Dream Weekend in Jamaica, and then I came back, I went to Cartagena in Colombia. I came back, listen, I was all over the place, just freeing up and just, you know, like I said, rejuvenating. I had zero plan.
To say Nicole needed a break is an understatement. And even though I'm glad she got to travel the world because she needed this time off, my questions were, what comes next? I was wondering if Nicole had any concerns about not having any plans.
I mean, it was definitely a fear of the unknown in general, right? Because I left without having a plan, right? That's my story. I resigned and June came and I had zero plan of what the next phase of my life was going to look like. It wasn't like where most people, like, they start looking for a job while they're on their current job and then they make the transition, right? I had zero plan. You know, it's not to say that you're leaving the field forever, right? It's, for me, it was just like, I'm taking a break to kind of rejuvenate and, you know, possibly just head right back into the, you know, into the school system. It just didn't happen that way for me. I had money saved, but you know, at the end of the day, I live in New York City, right? I have New York City living expenses. So that's where the fear was. It was like, well, what are you going to do in New York City and, you know, in a home by myself? And I'm like, I have to figure all of this out because I got to keep the lights on. I have other responsibilities in my life that I need to attend to. So that was where the fear came from. Like, being able to make sure that I was going to be financially secure moving forward. And also a piece of it was being nervous about finding that next thing that was going to make my heart sing again. Because I told myself, you are not accepting another job unless you know unequivocally this is a place that you, you know, you have to be and need to be. Like, everything had to be in place after, you know, going through such a really stressful, you know, tenure as a school leader. I was like, the next job, whatever I accept, it has to check all of these boxes. And, you know, there was that fear in the back of my head. I was like, am I going to find that? And what is that going to look like? You know, is it going to be possible? Or will I have to take a job where I know I'm going to be unhappy in again, just to, you know, have a job and have job security and have insurance and all of that other stuff that comes with, you know, salaried work. So there were different layers of fears, you know, the fear of settling, the fear of, you know, financial security, the fear of just not having, you know, people to talk to understand, because my parents thought I was off the rockers crazy for leaving a job without having another one. So yeah, I had to navigate quite a lot emotionally, you know, with that decision making.
Now, I can relate to Nicole not wanting to settle for the next job. I really can. And a lot of us probably can, because we know when we've had a bad experience on a job, we don't want to replicate that. But to have no plans, I don't know about all of that. And I know you're thinking it. Yes, Nicole took that leap of faith despite the fear. And it seems easier said than done. So I'm curious, what advice would she give to me or anyone contemplating a big decision like this? And when I mean big decision, I don't mean leaving a job without any plans, but making a decision you know you have to make.
I always say, like, I didn't see the whole staircase, but I took the first step. I totally did, as MLK always advises to do. You know, I took that first step and I was like, I'm just going to figure it out. And we're here. The idea of, like, letting fear, you know, basically just take hold of you and hold you hostage to actually living a full life, a full rich life. We really have to realize, you know, the shackles that it really places on us, especially when you're someone who is so used to being in control, right? I mean, yes, I get it. The unknown is very, very scary. But you know what's more scary? Living an unfulfilled life, not doing all the things that you want to do, not executing all those ideas in your head. Because that's the only regret you will ever have in life. You will not ever regret trying something and failing, but you will regret when you get to a certain point and said, man, I wish I had done that. I wish I had done this when I had the opportunity. I wish I had gone, you know, to such and such on this trip with this friend. I wish I had, you know, listened to this friend when they came to me with this idea to start this thing. those are the regrets you're going to have. Because as we both know in this space, when you make a decision to do something scary, right? The truth is you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it can absolutely lead to failure. Well, that's one way to look at it, right? Because as we both know, what comes from those failures? Lessons, right? And that means when you fail and you learn something new, the next step is you're going to actually be making decisions not out of like fear and on the unknown. You're going to be making more intelligent, right, decisions. You're going to be making informed decisions based on your life experiences. And there's so much beauty in that. And again, my life right now is a true testament to that. I'm grateful for that journey. And I think it's important for people to really respond to when, you know, they know that they are at a critical juncture in their life and they've got to make an important decision. And equip yourself with information to help you make that scary decision, right? To talk to other people who are in that space, right? You're not alone. This idea that you have to make these big, scary decisions when you're at these critical junctures of your life, girl, everybody's done it, right? I'm here now completely, completely out of the sheer, you know, the sheer strength and mercy of like just time and opportunity and just, you know, having that rest and having a new vision, you know, that emerged, you know, a year later, actually, after I took time off.
Okay. So the lesson here is whatever big decision you have to make, there's going to be fear. But equip myself with the information that I need to help me to make the right decision and lean into the fear. Not to mention a healthy dose of resilience and prayer goes a long way. So now I'm curious, after a year, what is Nicole now up to?
So I was just, you know, laying in bed and like looking at social media, like, ooh, this person's doing this. Ooh, this person's doing that. And I'm very blessed to have a lot of wonderful friends and you know, associates in my life. And I guess being in that space, finally being able to just take a look at what was going on outside of my bubble, the bubble that was my own professional life. I was like, wow, I have all of these people in my network doing really great things. And they're all from the Caribbean and I want to support them. So I just said, you know what? I just came up with a page. I did a little quick little initial logo thing, whatever, plopped that as a profile. And I was just like, oh, I'm just going to post my friends' stuff here. You know, I'm just going to post their events or, you know, whatever they sell and they make a little airing or whatever. I'm just going to post it here. That's it. This is just to support my friends. And I wasn't an avid poster. It was just like randomly every once in a while I felt like it. And, you know, I started picking up a little steam a little bit. And then, you know, one day someone said to me, who I was catching up with an old colleague, and he said, you know what, Nicole, you're onto something, you know. I think you really need to take this a little bit more seriously. And I was like, what you talking about? You mad? And I was like, I'm just posting blah, 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 blah. I could not comprehend the vision that he had, right? And the possibilities that this friend of mine talking to me had for what this could be. I couldn't grasp it, right? It did not take firm hold in my head at that point. And this is late 2018 now. And I started thinking about it more and more. And I said, you know what? I know what I could do. I was like, I don't know much about this world of entrepreneurship. And I bet there are other people who don't. So I'm not an expert, but I know what I could do. What if I could create a space for these people, like-minded people, to come together, to learn together? I was like, I could do that. I was like, yeah, I could do that. So I planned a brunch. I had a panel of five spectacular people who are at different stages of their entrepreneurial journey from 2-3 years in to 10 years out. The brunch was completely sold out. It was at a new establishment here in Brooklyn called Savvy Bistro. Like I said, I had some fantastic people on the panel. I had Khalila Wright, CEO of Mess in a Bottle. I had Khaled Hamid, who is the co-founder of Island Pops. I had Aisha, who is the CEO of Chloe and Chad, a bunch of really, really wonderful people who I couldn't even believe when I talked to them that they were like, sure, I would love to be part of this. I was nervous as heck. I was nervous as all heck. And I just planned this event. I didn't know, I'd never done anything like this before. And we, you know, we basically invited our audience. It was like 70 people to listen to their stories of how they started, how they overcame their challenges. You know, how did they find money? You know, what are the things that they're working on, and just giving advice in general, right? To people who are, maybe they have the idea and they don't know how to get started. And the feedback from that event, this was February 2019. The feedback from that event was so unbelievably, overwhelmingly positive. I was like, wow, I am onto something special, right? In terms of just at least creating a little community of people who want to get started, you know, and can learn together alongside each other and from others who are part of the community. Yeah. So I said, you know what, there's something here, there's something special that I can nourish. And even though I am not the expert in this particular, you know, space, which trust me, that's kept me up many, many, many a night. And I said to myself, you know what, Elon Musk don't know anything about building spaceships, but he's at the helm, right? And he got his little SpaceX thing going, right? The people who, you know, co-founded Uber, they weren't taxi drivers ever in their lives. So I said to myself, Nicole, you don't have to be the expert in the situation, but you can provide a service and bring two groups of people together, right? You can bring the talent together. That's what your space and, you know, and that's what you're going to claim. You're going to be the convener of like-minded individuals in the world of entrepreneurship.
Now, some of you might know or have figured out this new thing that Nicole started. But if you haven't, Nicole started
a new business called Carib Biz Network.
Carib Biz Network. So here, Nicole is doing yet another transition, first from being in engineering, STEM, education, and now entrepreneurship. How is she going to manage this transition? What is she doing to prepare herself for this transition?
Being in this space where I'm like, you're a new territory girl, so you've got to really study. You've got to study this space if this is where you want to be.
But it's still a new space. So I asked Nicole if she confidently walked into this space, or did she have some imposter syndrome?
Yeah, you know, the truth is, Karen, I still struggle with elements of it from time to time, you know. It hasn't crippled me as much as it did in the beginning, but it's still there. But I can definitely speak to how I was able to kind of like, you know, push forward and not let it just completely obstruct and hinder movements in this piece. One is, thank God for professional and personal friends, right? My community, my tribe, who constantly remind me, Nicole, I don't know anyone more degreed or smarter than you. I don't know why you think that you cannot do anything that you work hard at and put your mind to. Please stop it. There are many, many less credentialed, less experienced people doing a lot of amazing things. Not because they don't deserve to be those, you know, have those things and be those things, but they just worked hard, right? They worked at it. And, you know, they're able to do all the things that they do. So number one, you can do those things. So stop the choppiness.
Oh, yes. Nothing like some good friends to talk sense into you and that battery pack to keep you going. So now we've pushed through fear. We get a new dose of motivation and encouragement. What is Nicole going to do with all of this energy?
I said, you know what? Okay. So I got to work and I was still doing a lot of education consulting and stuff. And I think that started to take a lot more time from me. So 2019, I was definitely wavering with how much effort I was putting into the brand. Because again, I really wasn't seeing this as like, this is going to be some big thing, you know, that I have to really just go hard. I was still treating it like it was like the thing on the side, right? My educational gigs was still the forefront of my focus. And of course, like that's what was, you know, keeping the lights on, right? Doing my talks, teaching courses at universities and so on and so forth. And then I said, you know what, you're only going to get out of this what you put into this. So if you want more out of CBN, if you want more out of this new business you started called Carib Biz Network, you've got to put way more into it than you have been giving. So I buckled down in the end of 2019 and I said, I'm going to give it my all. And that's what led to just kind of like me actually coming up with a brand story, a look, a feel, planning, first convening of individuals, which is going to be Carib Biz Con in June of 2020, which of course couldn't happen because of COVID, which obviously was heart crushing.
Oh boy, COVID. So like everyone else in the world, I'm sure Nicole had to make pivots and changes to her business in light of this pandemic. So, you know, I asked, what changes did she make to accommodate what was happening as a result of COVID?
COVID absolutely, you know, caused, you know, me to pivot the business in terms of what I wanted to be able to do and provide. In terms of services, right now, currently, these are the four different areas of service, or services rather, that CBN supplies. So workshops or just informational seminars. Obviously, we started off in person and we're going to pivot to doing some more virtual events. Haven't done that. I really thought that I was going to, you know, just ride out the virtual space because of, like, you know, just the virtual overkill. But recognizing that, you know, we can absolutely galvanize more people and get more people to be a part of the community who are not just in New York by having virtual events. So we're going to be, you know, we're going to be doing some special stuff coming up soon. So stay tuned for that. So workshop, seminars, just educational events. Then we've got the branding and marketing, which is an arm that grew, you know, because of COVID last year. I realized that so many brands really needed support in that area. And people were starting to come to me personally for help. And then I realized, wait, hold up. All of these people are from the Caribbean. Why don't I officially just make this part of a service that CBN supplies? So CBN Creative Market was born last August. And again, it's all marketing and branding services, from anything from a logo, a website, brand story, brand style guide, to a marketing campaign plan, and more. So I'm really proud about that. So that's two things so far: educational events, branding and marketing. Number three is partnerships. So we've had a really, really nice a nice history to date of working with nonprofits and other business development organizations here in New York City and putting brands in contact with them and getting information to brands, you know, via them. So, and I hope to be able to do a lot more partnerships just because there's so much stuff going on. And I think it's important to note that, you know, in doing my research, that there are a lot of other Caribbean American focused initiatives in terms of the business world that exists in the States. A lot of them are localized, and one goal is to be able to do some cool stuff with some of them. So you've got, for example, DC is Caribbean, right? In Washington, DC, you have the Caribbean Network, which is focused on the business community in Atlanta. You have the African and Caribbean business community based in Philly, a nonprofit there. So I'm definitely hoping to be able to do a lot more work with some of these other entities. And number four, you can reach out to CBN for referrals, and that's across the board. So I've had people reach out to us. They're like, I need help in this capacity. I want to start this business, but I just need some guidance. And I've connected them to people who are willing to have free consultations with them to give them advice about how to get started or mediate a problem that they might be having, and so on and so forth. I also do brand referrals. So a brand might reach out to me and I might say, you absolutely need to do some kind of collaboration with XYZ. This is what you guys could and should do, blah, 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 blah. And I put those brands together. So referrals are quickly becoming a big part of one of the services that is provided. So that's four main areas right now: branding and marketing, educational events, partnerships, and the last is referrals.
So what is the focus, the purpose, the mission of Caribiz Network?
So CBN's mission, it's very simple: to discover, connect, support, amplify, and deliver information and resources to Caribbean American entrepreneurs and to help make them more impactful and successful brands. We really strongly try to focus on three core values, which is education, advocacy, and awareness. So the education piece should be really obvious. You know, I want CBN to be a preferred knowledge base that provides access to information and resources for Caribbean Americans across the diaspora, actually. In terms of advocacy, I want to be able to, you know, have the community advocate for initiatives that amplify and improve all of our lives every single day, regardless of what space or field that is. And just awareness, right? To help promote and showcase the diversity of products and services, you know, across our community nationally. So those are our three core values: education, advocacy, and awareness. We are a brand new business, a brand new entity. I mean, if you ask me about CBN in 5 years, we can talk for a week, because there's so many things that I want to do, but I'm not there yet. So I realized, like, I'm crawling right now, but there are huge, huge plans for what I want this business to eventually become. But we have, you know, with these population numbers, we have a lot more people out there that I need to get on board to know that Caribiz Network is one of the most important networks that you need to be a part of. And it doesn't matter if you're a business owner, because even if you're not a business owner, I need you supporting Caribbean brands and businesses. And I need you to know who they are so that you can go to their websites and buy their products and services. So come one, come all.
You already know that I'm here for everything about CBN's mission and core values. So I asked, with all the huge plans and the vision for CBN, aka Caribiz Network, what's that one thing that's top of mind in the work that she's doing through Caribiz Network? What is really driving her?
There's a couple of things, but the one that's, you know, impressing upon my heart the most in this moment is community. Right. So there are so many of us. There's so many talented folks who are working their tails off trying to do some very good work, create very special things that are going to outlast them. And I think, however, all of that is fine and wonderful, but man, we could be so much more powerful as a community. There are so many little factions, you know, doing their thing separately. And it's just like, can we all convene? Can we all come together, right? And have these kind of conversations again, which is going to be and is the, you know, number one point of CaribizCon, right? To have this convening of community. And when we say community, I know it could sound very cheesy, right? But I really, really want Caribbean business owners to embrace three different ways to look at community, right? So number one, community with your customers. I know that we stereotypically don't have the best reputation when it comes to this part of business, but literally community with your customers should be one of the main goals of every business. Why? Because if you don't have someone who likes you, trusts you and your brand, you're not going to sell anything. And you need to sell something, right? That's why you're in business. Right. And if you have to remember, this is the reason why a brand like Apple has been able to grow so fast and so strong, is because their customers, they're not customers anymore. They're part of a tribe, right? It's like the Apple cult, right? And they don't want anything else that's not Apple. And whatever Apple puts out, they're going to wear, they're going to buy. It doesn't matter, because they are part of that community. Apple has done a great job of nurturing that community, right? So one, we have to do a much better job with nurturing our community. And at the ground level, what that means is we've got to up our game with customer service. We've got to actually have like a pipeline of how we cultivate a customer all the way to the end of where they make a purchase, and we follow up with that customer. Like streamlining a process for just customer satisfaction. We've got to work on that community, customer community. Number two, community with our employees, right? Having a tribe within your business is critical. If you want to be taken seriously as a business owner, you need to ensure that the people working with you, for you, are not just dedicated or just clocking hours and just blah, 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 but they're actually excited. They are completely, you know, on board with the mission of your company, what you're trying to do. They look forward to coming to work every day, or, you know, putting on the computer to talk to every day. And, you know, helping your employees realize that if we all bleed for it, then we're all going to win from it, from that hard work. So number two, again, cultivating community with your employees and the people who are part of your team. And then three, the biggest part of the community piece, which is where CBN sits, is, you know, cultivating community with other individuals who are doing the hard work that you're doing as a business owner day in, day out. The community that your business is based in, you know, allows you to build a rapport with fellow business owners. You know, when you go to networking events and other local events, and, you know, together you can help establish your brand awareness with customers, helps you build up recognition for you and your company. Because the truth is, like there's so much strength in like knowing that you can find somebody who is a kindred spirit, and they are that because they know what it's like to be in the trenches. They know what it's like to deal with the challenges of entrepreneurship. They too are passionate about a dream, you know, and sometimes in the space we can feel very isolated, but being part of a community allows you to nurture each other as business owners, share advice with each other, you know, have camaraderie, grow with each other, share your influencers, share contacts, you know, brainstorm together, join forces, do collaborations, and help each other meet shared goals. So I think for us, community is really, you know, the gateway to us all flourishing individually and, you know, of course, together, cementing our foothold just across the diaspora, across the Caribbean American diaspora, but especially in the places where we, you know, we run it, New York, Florida, Atlanta, all the places where we completely dominate.
When I invited Nicole to be a guest on the podcast, her experience in education and school leadership was not what I had planned to talk about. But the beauty of great conversation and even better storytelling is that it leads to wonderful journeys to uncover an incredible story of determination, resilience, lessons on fear, lifelong learning, and a commitment to community. So as we wrap up, I want to get Nicole's final thoughts.
I was 11 just the other day in my grandmother's backyard picking leaf and playing marbles, pitch marbles with my brother. And, you know, that was my life. Never, ever, ever could I imagine moving to a whole different country 3 years later and ended up going to two Ivy League universities and becoming a school leader and being, you know, being a public speaker and being a published author. I never imagined that life. I'm a very proud island girl. So let's continue to amplify our culture. Make sure our voices are heard. Make sure we continue to do great work. Make sure we continue to make spaces to pull up the others coming up behind us and continue to be proud of who we are. There's no reason to be, you know, to get lost in a sea, you know, in this new land that we are, some of us as immigrants are in now.
So here's information on how you can connect with CBN, aka Caribiz Network, and Nicole.
For those of you who are listening, again, CBN, you can find us, you know, just go to our website, caribbiznetwork.com. That's with two Bs, C-A-R-I-B-B-I-Z, network.com. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the same handle, at caribbiznetwork. And personally, you can find me on IG at dr.rebelg, dr.rebelg. That's where I hide out from folks. I don't use my real name as a handle. I guess it's just ingrained in me to hide from children on the internet for the last 20 years of my life. So that's where you can find me. But just, you know, please, you know, follow the platform. If you are a business owner, you know, add yourself to the directory in our link on the website or the link in Instagram. We're always looking to try to add more people to the directory because big things come in with that. So please know that and stay tuned. And I look forward to, you know, connecting with anyone who comes on board. You know, the more the merrier. We're just here for anybody who wants to be down, you know, and celebrate each other because there's not enough of it happening. And again, like you said, it doesn't need to just happen when, you know, it's like, their CEO status, right? It's like continued support and encouragement and a rejoicing of each other's successes because we all know for lots of different reasons, which is a whole other podcast, how hard it is to navigate any space, being a person with an accent, being an immigrant, being a woman, right? On American soil, how to navigate all kinds of spaces and still find success in spite of.
And there you have it. I do hope you enjoyed this edition of Carry On Friends, the Caribbean American podcast. And as I love to say at the end of every episode, walk good. You've been listening to Carry On Friends, a show about the Caribbean American experience, produced by Breadfruit Media. We post a new episode every 2 weeks on Tuesday. And if you're looking to learn more, buy our merch, or sign up for a newsletter, check out carryonfriends.com. Or find us on all social media platforms at Carry On Friends.